Good God. Okay. All right. What's going on? This is Mr. Taper, Barber's Only Magazine, and you are here with Mr. Taper's Barber Life. We are episode 10, and you are here in the field with my man, Father Barber. What's going on, man?
What's up, Craig, man? See, you done did big things now. I remember you had a black and white magazine.
Amazon. Yes, sir.
Heard a few
yes,
color pages. You done moved up. You done moved up to podcasts now. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. Be honest with you, we just picking it back up. We first started in 2011 with the podcast. I put it down for a little bit, but it's time to get it going again. But yeah, man. Real for those who may be living under a rock, may not know your legendary status in the barber game. But tell me, how did you first get started in the barber game?
How did I first get started? It's a journey, man. Pretty much like a lot of you in Philadelphia that cut hair, African Americans. We started at grandma's house, your mom's house,
okay.
Cut in the basement, cut on the porch, cut in the kitchen, you know what I mean? Kind of followed after the temple.
Okay.
Give me 2 seconds, phone fell. Kind of like following, like, I followed, like, the other gentleman in my neighborhood at the time. You know, my mentor, Jazz, another guy named Buddy Back, another gentleman
okay.
named Steve. You know, they all cut hair in their mother's basement, their grandmother's basements. And they that's how their legend started. And these are you know, my personal friends that I truly loved and adored. And I wanted to be just like them.
Okay. So, what year around? What year?
Yeah, 1989, 1990, 1991. The golden years, you know, for the inner city. You know what I mean? When you were at an age, when I was 12, 13 years old, just trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life, you know.
Okay.
1992. This is when Nintendo was popping. So, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm gonna go ahead, beat cut, go to play Super Mario Brothers, you know, or cut hair. And it's like, yo, I wanted to cut hair. I could play video games. I wasn't all that great. So, I wanted to
okay.
construct from the top. Something constructive with my song. You know, ask my mom, you know, buy me a pair. You know, I want to be like Jazz, man.
Got you. So, have you ever had a job besides barbering?
I have never had a regular job, but in the beginning, okay. I had like a little job at like a little convenience store called Berry's, but that was under the table,
okay.
You know, back groceries, stocking the shelves, and I was making money under the table. So back in the '80s in Philadelphia, there's a lot of businesses, like, you know, black businesses, you know, back in the '80s in Philadelphia, South Philadelphia. So, you know, my mother knew a lot of people that work at the stores, she always would ask them, you know, could you look out for my son? Could you give my son a job? And, you know, this was the beginning of me, you know, learning, you know, networking, you know, with people and, you know, trying to make a couple honest quarters for myself.
Okay.
I would go to for the local Acme, bag grocery, you know, things of that nature. You know, no, I never had a regular job. Fill a job, okay. Summer program in Philadelphia. Or, you know, at-risk youth, you know, that's when we first earn, like, a check, you know, cleaning plate routes and stuff like that. But, like, in the work world, nah, I never worked at McDonald's or any convenience stores or anything like that. No.
Wow, that's a blessing, man. But I'm going to tell you, I call you one of the ass-line guys.
Well, come.
Because the way you hit that ass line, it is all natural.
Well, yeah, now that's a natural ass line. Ash line.
Right.
Ash line. I'm not using no pencil.
Right.
Color pencil to trace the line in and all of that. So we can touch on that too, Greg.
That's what I was going to say. You know, it's a lot of controversy now over enhancements, over hash lines. You know, I had a little dude come in the shop. He wanted me to put the pencil on. He wanted me to leave it on. I was like, oh. What are we coming to now? You know what I'm saying?
See, that's the new stuff. That's what the young men of this world, they like.
Right.
See, back in the day, you had like ABC, another bad creation. They wore their clothes backwards. And these little boys. So now the little boys today, or the little young men today, they want you to do their shape up. They didn't want you to trace it with a pencil.
Right.
So it was like us older guys out here, we ain't into that. Sort of like the older guys back in the day, 89, 90, they weren't wearing their clothes backwards. So, you know, is this something that I'm not accustomed to doing, you know, using a pencil shaping somebody up? You know, that's really not my thing.
Right.
I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking the box of being creative, doing so, doing it. Like, you know, kudos, man. Get your money, man. Get your money. Why it's hot. This thing is hot right now. The iron is hot. Get your money. My only thing is, you know, if you're making money, you know, doing this enhancement, you know, with color pencils, you know, invest your money, you know, because it's like a fad. It's going to come and it's going to go. It's going to blow in the wind.
Right, right.
It's like Beijing. You know,
right.
Late 90s, all through the 2000s, you know, Beijing was hot and amazing.
Right.
Barbers made millions of dollars off for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you had to do the right thing with your money. But while the iron is hot, the right thing with your money. That's all I would say.
Okay. So that's funny because, you know, I know there's some popular barber young machines, and I'm not saying they can't do a cut without enhancement, but all their cuts are enhanced. Get it while it's hot, but how do you feel about barbers who just, that's all they put out there is enhanced cut? Yeah, hello?
Well, I'm back.
Okay, yeah, I was saying there are a lot of barbers out there on YouTube, every cut is enhanced. And I know you said it, you know, it while it's hot, but, and like you said, I don't have a problem with the enhancement. There are some clients that I give enhancements to, but I feel like an enhancement is bad. It's supposed to enhance the cut. It's not supposed to cover up a mistake. How do you feel about that?
It's not supposed to make the cut. It's enhance it to make it more sharper.
Right.
Is what I would say an enhancement is. An enhancement could be a design, you know, in the haircut, to make it look enhanced or digitally better or something like that, you know?
Right.
Enhanced. But, you know, I guess I don't see nothing with it. I don't knock no barbers that use it.
Okay.
Like I said, again, just make sure you just, when it's got, just do right with your money.
Okay. And I see that you use one of the clippers you use, the little style liner.
No, the slim lines. I like the slim lines.
Slim line. Yeah, the slim line. Yeah,
just still rockles. Something that I just, yeah. Something I just thought of, you know, instead of using the slim line, just a smaller blade, you know what I mean? I just went with the wider blade and just figured out how to, what do you call it?
Modify that.
You call it. Change the bracket. Modify, change the bracket in the inside just to make the, what's the name, fit.
Right. Hey, that's...
Just to make the fit.
That joint is serious, bro. You know, I bought a couple of pair, man. I love them, man. I actually need to get another one from you, you know, if you got them. But say again?
I said, and it hit.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely hit. And I'm out there today. You know?
Definitely, you know what I mean?
So tell me, I know, who are some of your well-known clients that you've taken care of?
Well, you know, I had my run. I had a nice run, you know, cutting in the industry. You know, my biggest clients were the Roots, you know, Philadelphia, the band from Philadelphia, Tonight Show, Grammy Award winning band. You know, I had a pleasure serving them for 22 years.
Wow. You still cut
it? It was a beautiful run. No, I do not. No, I didn't. Okay. I moved on to other things. You know, outside of that opportunity, I moved on to other things to round out my career. You know, over 30 years cutting hair. So, you know, I'm just going on the totem pole, man. You know, things that helped me to become great.
Right. I don't know.
Because without them, what?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I know we met in 2003. At the barber, what was it? Barber joint. You remember that?
Yeah, that's with the salon, the boot camp.
Yeah, salon set.
Yeah, I need to bring that back. So it was me.
Yeah.
It was me, Kitty, and Nori, Major League Barber. See, we were the only barbers from Philadelphia going out. You know what I mean? Going out. This is before the barber battles and all of that stuff like this. So Salai Assist was on to something. It was on to something.
Yeah.
They just didn't keep it. They didn't keep it up. But them, Salai Assist, like Solid Gold Magazine, like these two, platforms were on to something very big, you know.
Right.
You know, 20 years ago. And they helped birth what barbering is today. They helped birth it.
Solid Gold still out there doing that thing too. Shout out to Carlo.
Yeah. Carlos Pay. He's still around. He's been on a lot of the major league shows, wherever Nori's at. He's still flicking it up with his camera.
Yep.
Well, you know, he had a nice run in the 90s. You know what I mean? He had a beautiful run in the 90s. He was the first, what I would say, he was the first social media for barbers. His magazine. He gave us his platform to express ourselves.
Yeah. So tell me, what are some of your favorite things? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying that, you know, I was saying thank you to Carlos, you know what I mean, for, you know, giving us a platform to express ourselves, you know, as barbers, as young men from the inner city. Like, you know, he saved a lot of us. He saved a lot of us because, you know, with that magazine, wasn't no Instagram, wasn't no Facebook, wasn't no MySpace. You know, he was distributing his book, Hand to Hand Combat, up and down 95.
Wow.
You know, from New York all the way down to Florida. You know what I mean? He was the hand to hand. So, you know, he started something that was revolutionary, man.
Right. I mean, I remember if you had your picture in that magazine, big time, boy. Remember that. In fact,
it was big time. It gave a lot of the brothers that were entrepreneurs, you know, wanted to invest their money into young men careers, buying buildings. They was rehabbing buildings. They were turning into barbershop enterprises. So, you know, they were the days, you know what I mean? Before strip malls, where people start putting their shops in strip malls, you know what I mean? You buy the property, you buy the property, you rehab it, you own it, you buy the land, you own it. That's what I was taught, and that's what I did. You know what I mean? I bought the land, I bought the building that the shop sits on. So, you know what I mean? All aspects, you know, I 100% own it.
Wow, that's beautiful, man. So,
who
taught you that?
Mentor playing his jazz. Mentor, you know, I learned a great deal of business from him. He's an entrepreneur here in Philadelphia. You know, he's a boss from Barbery. He was a neighborhood barber. He was our neighborhood barber in South Philadelphia in the 80s. He since did to real estate. And he hit the lottery, man. He had a lottery ticket. Literally had a lottery. Not played a game lottery, but he invested his money into real estate, man, and did very well for himself.
Wow, that's beautiful, man. That's good because as barbers, man, we gotta pass on that knowledge.
I always say, right? I share with anybody that want to learn barbering, that want barbering, I share with them, man. I share it because it's like I can't take it to the grave with me. You know, right. I got to leave something here for right. something to grab, for someone to grab and keep for the rest of their life. Like, I got to leave something here. So, you know, and so, you know, barbering is what I, you know, my faucet, you know, my style, what I do, I want to leave it here so that somebody can better themselves.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Better themselves in life.
That's good, man. So you actually helped a young man become barbers, haven't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I inspire a ton of young men, you know what I mean? Physically, mentally, you know, hands off, you know what I mean? People call, ask questions and stuff like that, you know, where they want their barber career to go. Mentorship, yes, I do offer that. Anybody that wants it, yeah, absolutely.
No.
And it won't,
hey,
won't cost you a dime.
Right.
Conversation ain't going to cost you a dime.
Right. That's you, man. So tell me this, what are some of your favorite clippers and trimmers that you use now?
So some of my favorite clippers that I use, I'm a wall guy. I always love the wall seams.
Okay.
Because it takes you back to the early fall. You know, when you had the quarter wall that you would buy, you know, 1999, you know what I mean? From
right.
you know, Woolworth or you know, Kmart or something like that. You know what I mean? The one clipper that you would use to cut the whole hair and shape yourself up.
Right. You know
whole mean? Whole shebang. Okay. You take the blade off. Shit. You were zero gapping the blade back in the 90s. You didn't even know what for zero gap. You didn't know you were zero gapping.
I know. If them joints got too hot, you was in trouble. You only had one.
Yeah, you only had one. Couldn't do your shape up. So, you know what I mean? You remember them days, man. But, you know, wall, I like wall. Of course, and this Outliners will always be the best. They will try on anything. I don't care what company. Bring a liner out. Fabulous to Coco. You know, even, you know, what's the other about the other brand. Anyway, there's a couple brands. I forgot their names, you know, even Wall bringing out a trimmer, you know, Bevel brought out a trimmer, like I said, Coco, you know what I mean? But Andis will always be the godfather in the Outliner game. Andis.
Okay. So have you actually ever tried, say, a Babyliss trimmer?
Yes, I had a couple of them. They cut cool. You know, you get a good setting on them like any of the other trimmers. Any other trimmers? You can do wonders with those. Yeah, I use Babyliss trimmer. I've got a pair of the latest ones, the all black ones.
Okay.
As far as they cut and clear. I think the FX series or something like that.
Okay. That was just look weird.
They pretty solid.
Okay. That would look weird for me to see you trimming somebody with a Babyliss trimmer head out. That's invite.
Oh yeah. I don't really use them, you know, to shape people up. But if I got a good pair that's hitting, you know, I'll use them. But I'm an Andis guy when it comes to the liners.
Right.
Okay. I'm an Andis guy. I like liners. Andis will always be the best, man. You know what I mean? Plus, you know, they not cutting no check to me. So,
right.
I'm not broadcasting them. Be honest with you.
Right. I got you. So I'm gonna tell you,
I can make money off of Andis, so
okay.
And I'm definitely, you know, supporting them and shouting them out.
Hey, that's what it's about, barber business. So check it.
Yes, definitely.
I picked back up my detachable because I had sat them down for about 3 years. So I picked up some Oyster Octane.
And, they cordless, right?
Yeah. And it just reminded me how fast I could do a fade with them joints. You know what I mean? I was like, damn, why did I put them down? My fade.
I mean, that happens like that. That happens like that. You'll be good with one clipper for a long time. Then you jump out of it. You jump out of it. You use something else. You be like, damn, well, why not? Stop using notes. You know what I mean? Like, it happens. I would say that's growth. That's what that is. Growth. You growing. You know, in between, you know, stages, and you know, you just double back.
Right. Okay. So tell me, what is the best tip that you have gotten from a client? It could be monetary or it could be something verbal.
I can tell you two tips that I have gotten. I have gotten an $1,800 tip from Rick Ross for service and hand. The best game that I ever got was from Tracy Morgan.
Okay.
Tracy Morgan said to me personally, I was up his house. He lives in Alpine, New Jersey, like on North Jersey side, like Mary J. Blige and Chris Rock, you know, the whole community. And he told me that people just like you, don't get it effed up. My Philly guy, he said, it's people just like you that cut hair just like you that live in these beautiful homes.
Damn.
So we would ride through, you know, his neighborhood. We live. He said, "Man, people just like you live in these houses."
So he was trying to say,
"Damn." So that's just like that's just.
So you were trying to say like normal people, or you were trying to say like barbers?
Barbers is people that are in the industry that we are in.
Wow. Damn.
Makeup artists, you know. Stylists, you know, they live in these homes. Regular people live in these homes. Don't get it effed up. Regular people live in these homes.
Wow.
So I was like, wow. That's crazy. I gotta not only get my hustle on, but, you know, I really have to start asking questions. Like, you know, I was actually on set today and, you know, I'm just trying to learn, you know, what's this business, you know, working in television. And she said, you have to ask questions. You know, I hate being nosy. Like, I don't like being nosy. I don't like asking people their business. I truly don't. But she said, you have to ask questions. You know, if you want to get to the next level, you have to ask questions. And it's crazy. Then she said that to me. I had barbers in the past that worked for me. And they would be having the mumblings and the grumblings and all of that. And I don't know why. So I told one of the guys, yo, you know, just ask me. Like, if there's anything you want to know, help your game out, just ask me. And he said, why I got to ask you? And it's like, all right. Well, you know, he said it in a negative tone. I'm like, all right, well, you must don't want to get to the next level then.
Right.
So it takes me back to the day. Like, you know, she's absolutely right. You know what I mean? About me asking questions.
Hey.
And you have to ask questions. You know what I mean?
Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes you may get in that mode when it's cutting, you like on autopilot, you know, you're not saying too much to your client. You know,
that's me on autopilot.
Okay. Well,
because she asked me, you know, how come you don't greet yourself? How come you don't say anything to the clients that sit in your chair? I was like, I just want to cut hair, love, and go home.
Right.
I mean, I want to be the least distraction, the least problem.
Right.
And, you know, she was asking me some questions and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, I never seen myself, you know, being this top guy in television cutting hair. I never really did, because it's a lot of responsibility, you know, being a barber, especially in television and film, being that dude is a lot of responsibility.
Right. So what show are you working on?
It's a show for Apple TV called Sink or Swim. right now that I'm currently working at.
Okay.
I just finished out a show for HBO, then I worked on this thing for Netflix too. So just get my feet wet.
Okay. Hey, you got to speak like, up, bro.
I got to work out.
You're doing a lot, man. I got
to work down it. Oh, cool, man. I don't like bragging and all of that stuff like that.
Hey,
it
ain't grabbing. It ain't grabbing. It's true, brother.
You know what I mean? You know, you're my guy. You know what I mean? You always believe in me. So, you know, I got to drop a few gems on you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
For your show, you know, you want to take some, put in your magazine or whatever like that. You know what I mean? I'll show it for you, man.
Okay. All right. So, doing something for Apple TV, that's Sink or Swim. Doing something. You did something for HBO. What's the name of that show?
Yeah, HBO Max. It's called Full Circle.
Okay.
I worked the entire first season on that HBO Max. It's another series, another mini series that's coming out for the streaming network. Just cut the hair, man. Cut the hair. Expressing myself.
Man, that's what's up, man.
But
and I did great, bro. So where was this shot at?
So, you know, one show was shot in New York City.
Okay.
Queens, New York. Yeah, Queens, New York. There, you know, this is like 60, it was like a 60 something day shoot. So I worked like 40 something days of that. Got to that. That was really cool. Dennis Quaid is in this one. I forgot the young lady name, but it was a big budget, big project. I mean, you know, okay. I was thankful to get, you know, picked to do it, to work it. There's one that's just started in January here in Pennsylvania.
Okay, man, that's beautiful, man. But tell me. Tell me, our subscribers want to know when you worked on that first show, would they set you up in a hotel for 40 days, or how does that work?
No, actually, it was in New York. So it's called a local. I was a local hire.
Okay.
A local hire. So I traveled from Philadelphia to New York, and I use my own dollar. You know what I mean? I paid my own money. So I had to go back and forth, paying tolls, paying gas. You know, so I was just still over in New York for 3 days.
Okay. Okay.
You know, find a little find hotel, like $100 a night, something like that.
Right, right.
It's all an investment, you ask me. So yeah. Budget wasn't that big, so they wasn't, you know, it's just when they weren't trying to pay for, you know, your hotel and all of that. So I paid
for it. So the HBO one, we local hire on that.
I was a little show. Yeah, that's local, yeah, because it's in the tri-state. But if I was to travel down there where you guys work at, or we live in Atlanta, like I can work on the Tyler Perry set, and
okay,
they will have to pay me more money because I'd be a distant hire.
Gotcha.
I'm not a resident. I'm not a resident of Georgia. So right. If they wanted my services or me to cut any of their actors for any of them shows, yeah, they have to pay me is more money.
Okay. Man, that's great, bro. So is that the road you're going now, more into movies and TV and less in the barbershop?
Like I said, I'm at 45 years old, so it's a little mixture of both.
Okay.
And I can't let the barbershop go because I own it and I still get it. So, you know, I'll do like swing days. If they got like 3-4 days for me to work, I'll work 3-4 days.
Okay.
And back in the barbershop. I don't have no problem doing that.
Okay.
That's crazy. Like a young lady I work with today asked me the same question. It's like, I mean, I love the barbershop. You know, I own the business for 23 years. So that's hard just to throw that away. To come answer to someone, you know, answer to a higher up, you know, how they want you to cut ahead, you know what I mean? And it's like,
right.
That's like a tough, you know, a commitment to actually do or say, you know what I mean? That's pretty tough.
What was your first, well, first head you cut on a on set, on a TV or movie set?
Wow. My first, it had to be the Roots, you know, at the Tonight Show.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, that was my first time. That was my first introduction, you know, to the entertainment industry.
Okay.
That's my very first, and my very first clients. So,
gotcha. All right. So, you know, I'm coming to Philadelphia because I got to do my homework. You know what I mean? And for those who don't know, you know, I still feel Philly the best city block for barbers. They got the most talent.
I'll tell you that we have the best, you know, it's a style cutting hair, you know,
yes.
Pound for pound, any city or state, you know, people,
right.
All ethnic groups, but they got their, sauce, they got their juice from, you know,
right.
Learning the Philly style of barbering, then, you know, putting it to their style, you know what I mean?
Right.
They learn, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we kind of paid attention to detail, you know, with barbery, you know, from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. There was some really good guys that cut hair that were artists, like Chuck Styles, and you had, like, a brother named, like, Jay Fresh here in Philadelphia. They can art. They can draw. Kenny Duncan can draw more like people's heads. And
right.
We had that here in Philadelphia first because wasn't nobody, it wasn't put on a platform. It wasn't put on a silk screen.
Right.
Before Philadelphia. Then you had other artists in other communities, other states and cities that were really, really good. And they just, you know, applied the same, you know, know-how that Philly barbers were built.
Yep. So since I'm going to be doing my homework, besides your shop, what are four other barbershops in Philly I should check out just to check out their cutting style and that, you know, would afford the
thing. Like I said, you got Kenny Duncan. You got Kenny Duncan and them. You know, main attraction.
Main attraction. Okay.
You have Jamal. What's his name? Jamal. I can't think of Jamal's shop. Little Mall. XXLX. Okay. I can't even forget it. But when you come, I can point you in that direction.
Okay.
Mall's more influential. He works in commercial quality. Works with a lot of the young men that in the city for barber. He's really good. Mall cut.
Okay.
Who else? You know, you got Chink. Chink is dope. Chink is always dope. Okay. You know, White Sharp is really good.
Okay.
If you want to go on the Spanish side of things, you know, you have like Ears and Crispy Jenny. You know, they're doing their thing. You know, on the Spanish side.
Yeah.
They're doing their thing. You know, I think they worked at Danny Garcia Barbershop, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
but they doing their thing, you know, heavy. They real, you know what I mean? The Spanish community. Yeah, Spanish community was dope. And they can cuss pit, man. They can cuss pit.
Man, it's crazy how Spanish community and the black community in Philly, the level of barbering is at such a high level. You know what I mean? It's like both of
them. Yes, it is.
It's like so high. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, you know, I'm not trying to offend nobody, but in Atlanta, you have black and then you have white, and the level of barbering is not the same. You know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you a question. All right, somebody touched on Atlanta today with me. You know, it's very expensive to get a haircut down there. They charge us so much money, but
that's talent. Certain areas.
Certain, okay. Yeah, the talent isn't, you know, top notch.
Okay.
You know what somebody was saying? It's like, you know, they were telling me that, you know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause I know for a fact, it's a group of guys that left Philadelphia, you know, in sprinkles. That moved to Atlanta. That was cutting hair really, really good up here in Philly. They moved to Atlanta, you know, because the ethnics for money for African Americans is, you know, the dollar is bigger down there.
Right.
And they doing really well. They doing really well down in the Atlanta area.
Okay.
They cut here.
Okay.
Well, shout out to them, man.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like my man Jigga, he want to move there.
Yeah, Jigga, yeah. Jigga moved from he was like a pioneer. Not like he was a pioneer up here in Philadelphia. He used to work with Jay Fresh. Jay Fresh used to put bowling pins in the city of Philadelphia. People, he is the Knights. You know what I mean? Cut with a razor and all of that. So, you know, Jigga is definitely influential. Philadelphia, you know, he left Philly. He had a dream. He wanted to cut in television in film. And packed his ship up. He moved to Georgia and tore it up.
Yeah, did it. Shout out to Jigga.
That's my man. What's the other brother? I can't think of his name. But he's down that area too.
Damn.
Little short brother. I can't think of his name. Tongue twisted.
Yeah, I know.
He's doing a really, really, really good job down there. Khalid the barber. Khalid. Khalid, another one left Philadelphia and doing really good down there. You know what I mean? Like they packed their shifts up. They went south. My friend Rashawn Fuller, you know, he's down. He's been living down about 25, going on 30 years. You know, cutting hair. But he wasn't like a big barber. He wasn't like a big barber in Philadelphia, but he started. And, you know, he moved down there and opened a barbershop. You know, he was working with this other brother named Rick. Like, had a nice Rick from, he's from Connecticut. And he moved down there and he opened a nice barbershop. And it was a mixture of, you know, cosmetologists and barber. This was in the 90s, early 2000s. Uh-huh. And, you know, they did really good with that stuff down there, too.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Shout out to my man, Quadir. Doing it too,
Quadir. I can't picture Quadir, but he's from Philadelphia.
Yeah, but
it's another brother that I know. Rob works with the swag shop. Rob's from Philadelphia too. He works with a big Killer Mike.
Okay, that's what's up.
So is a brother from Philadelphia. It's a brother from Philadelphia, Rob, that works for with Killer Mike, another cat from Philly, tanning it up down there.
Okay. So how much was haircuts when you first started, and how much for a haircut now?
When I first started cutting hair, we was like, you know, adults were $15 and okay. Children were 10. Seven. He had a little special $5 on Wednesdays. But now, you know, haircuts, they 50 and above.
Oh, that's how much they are now?
Yeah, 50 and above.
Wow. Hey, I tell the young barbers now, it's a great time to be a barber today, boy.
But again, I know dudes charging $100 a haircut, right? And Craig, they live in an apartment. Something wrong. If you're charging $100 a haircut and you getting that times 12 and you're tipping all of that, you better go own something.
Right.
Better own something. Like I was talking, I don't know if you know Max, I introduced you to Maximilian. He's an older gentleman here in Philadelphia. He's been cutting hair about 50 years.
Okay.
And he still cut hair. And he told me yesterday, we were on the phone, I always check in with you. That's my guy. He said his first, he cut in Center City. He got a shop. He's the only black brother with a barbershop in Center City. So He told me yesterday his first client that he had was $341.
What?
First client.
Damn.
$341. Because it's crazy how he prices out. He's downtown Philadelphia.
Okay.
So, starting a haircut with him is $60. Then you want to add color to your hair, another $80. Then you want a facial, another $60. Then you talk about, you know, a chain, another $40. You know what I mean? Like, you want these services, he charged for these services. I was okay. Like, wow, Mr. Max, that's like amazing. Damn. And then he sell his own, product, you know, own product. So he just told me, like, my first client of the day was $341. I said, ouch.
Wow. They like that level of consistency, though. Know that?
Yeah. Then Mr. Max is an older, distinguished gentleman, you know, here in Philadelphia. So he ain't about no nonsense. He ain't playing no jigaboo music in his salon, in his barbershop.
Right.
You know, he's downtown on Chestnut Street between, you know, 20th and 21st. Let me see, 19th and 20th in Chestnut. He's downtown in Center City. So, you know, it's classic. You know what I mean? He has a classic establishment.
Wow. Damn. I gotta definitely set that up when I go out.
So that's one brother that, you know, I highly recommend, you know, you go and see when you come to Philadelphia. That's another brother.
Okay. Do you
I recommend you check out. Yeah, Max. Max level, Lil Mall, that's it. He's in Philadelphia too. So, you know what I mean? I'll point you all in the right direction, you know what I mean? Who to go and check out, man? When you come, I'll point you in the right direction, man. It'll be great conversation.
Okay. Tell me three people who you would like to cut.
As far as a
barber wish list. Like with me, I always joke with my boys. I'm like, man, I wish I could cut Jay-Z's hair. Cut all that junk out of his head, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I did it enough, man, so it don't even excite me to want to cut, you know, entertainers, you know, rappers and all of that stuff like that. But
okay,
if I did, I don't know, man. Times have changed. I don't even know who out there. Who's out there? Because I done did all the ones that I wanted to do. You know, I did Ross. You know, I always wanted to do Ross. I did Ross before. You know what I'm saying? You know, I did Tracy Morgan. So, you know what I mean? Like, I did those guys already. So, it's like, I accomplished what a lot of barbers would like to do. I accomplished those things already.
Okay. That's a blessing, man. Okay. Well, I think that's all for now, man. So where can we reach you? Like any barbers need some mentoring or just...
Oh, I'm okay. Mentorship. I mean, you can always hit me on my IG, you know, at FatherBarber1. You know, it's on your screen. You can always hit me. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Call my shop. I'm there, 215. My shop number, 215-271-7098. You know, I still got a landline, and I had my landline for 24 years.
Wow.
Because, you know, when you go on Google, you Google the barbershop, you're not Googling the cell phone. You're Googling my landline, my barbershop. I had that.
Okay.
23 years, 24 years at that.
Damn, man. I had a landline, but I had to switch over to the mobile, bro. You know?
All right, man. I still got my mobile line. You know what I mean? I still got that. And I got the landline because I have younger barbers that still cut at the barbershop. So, you know, they kind of depend on the, how should I put it? They depend on the traffic on the phone when people Google.
Right. Right. Yeah. But that's what I meant. I still have a landline, but I just switched it over to a mobile phone. So it's still the same number.
Okay.
It's just a mobile.
Okay.
But all right, man. Hey, I appreciate you, bro.
This show live, right?
No, it's recorded, but
I'm just recording it.
Yeah, but I'm gonna bring it out soon.
All right, just let me know.
So appreciate you, man. Appreciate the knowledge, and I will be seeing you. You're not gonna make any appearances at any hair shows this summer, are you?
I mean, I might pop up down in Atlanta. You know what I mean? I'm good for Atlanta at least once a year.
Okay.
Yeah, so if I'm in the area, I'll call you.
Let me know.
I'll reach out to you.
All right. All right, brother. All right, I appreciate it. Father Harper. Work. Doing his thing.
Yes, sir. For hopping to the supermarket. For hopping to the supermarket.
All right, bro.
Be good, homie.
Appreciate you.
All right, peace.
All right. Yeah, that was my man, Father Barber, Philadelphia's finest. Great interview with him, and going to be airing that real soon. Shout out to all our listeners, and we out. Thank you.